I think it's time that we all let our little light shine. I know that God has placed it in our hearts. His Spirit dwells mightily inside of us, those who have called Jesus Lord and Savior. And so this morning, that's a great song for our message this morning. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 7 this morning. I'm going to get right into the message today. Jeremiah chapter 7, verses 1 through 15. We're going to read it all, but our main focus is going to be verses 1 through 7. Is where most of the message will come from this morning. Let me ask you a question. Does the way a person live their lives determine your view of them? When you see someone, they're living their lives recklessly. What do you think about that individual? Don't holler it out. But when you see someone living their lives differently from the way they say they are, then you judge them just a little bit, don't you? You think, well, there's something wrong in their lives is the reason they're living like that. What do you think happens in the lives of those who are outside the church? They're living their lives a certain way, and a lot of people say that what we do is we judge them for the way they live their lives. And we do. We do judge. The one thing that God has given us permission to do is to judge sin. And sin is sin, and what we're supposed to do with sin is to hate sin. And we talked about our Sunday school class this morning. We hate sin, but we got to love the sinner. The importance of loving the sinner is that we're able to love them to Christ Jesus. We're able to love them to the point that they come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And if we don't love them to the point that they come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, then we ourselves have been hypocritical. If we've just placed judge, and that's all. So if we look at other people and we view them based on the way they live their lives, what do you think God does to you and I? God's children, the world that doesn't know God is Lord and Savior, how do you think God views us? I think that's a valid question, don't you? Important question that you and I need really to be able to answer. And so here's what the Word of God says. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7 says this. It says, "But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I've refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." I'm going to tell you something. I'm so glad that God does not look at the outward appearance of man, because based on that alone, there'd be no way I would get into heaven. There'd be no hope for me as a man, but God looks at the heart, and there's something special about the heart that God sees. And when God sees you and I, He sees the covering of the blood of Jesus over our hearts. And so this morning, I want to share with you, I want to preach this morning, so I hope you understand this morning that I'm going to preach. Because what we have in the world today, people outside say the reason I don't go to church is because it's full of hypocrites. And what your response should be is yes, but we have room for one more, amen? There's always room for another one. But as the Word goes forward this morning, my prayer is that God would speak to you some way today. God would speak to your heart. And that you would know right where you fall. You would know how you need to adjust things in your life. You will know, hopefully, prayerfully, at the conclusion of the message this morning, the exact steps you need to take in order to be right with God. And so with that, this morning, I want to ask that you would honor God by standing at the reading of His Word. Jeremiah chapter 7, verses 1 through 15, we'll read. "The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, stand in the gate of the Lord's house and proclaim there His word, and say, hear the word of the Lord, all ye of Judah, who enter in at these gates to worship the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your doings, and I'll cause you to dwell in this place. Do not trust in these lying words, saying, the temple of the Lord. The temple of the Lord. The temple of the Lord are these. For if you thoroughly amend your ways and your doings, if you thoroughly execute judgment between a man and his neighbor, if you do not oppress the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, and do not shed innocent blood in this place or walk after other gods to your hurt, then I will cause you to dwell in this place, in the land that I gave to your fathers forever and ever. Behold, you trust in lying words that cannot profit. Will you steal, murder, commit adultery, swear falsely, burn incense to Baal, and walk after other gods whom you do not know? And then come and stand before me in this house which is called by my name and say, we are delivered to do all these abominations. Has this house which is called by my name become a den of thieves in your eyes? Behold, I have seen it. Yes, says the Lord. But go now to my place which was at Shiloh. God wanted them to see an example of what was going to happen. And so he said, but go now to my place which was at Shiloh, where I set my name at the first, and see what I did to it because of the wickedness of my people Israel. And now, because you have done all these works, says the Lord, and I spoke to you, rising up early and speaking, but you didn't hear, and I called you, but you didn't answer, therefore I will do to the house which is called by my name, in which you trust, and to this place which I gave to you and your fathers, as I've done to Shiloh. And I will cast you out of my sight, as I have cast out all your brethren, the whole posterity of Ephraim. We pray with me this morning. Father in heaven, today we thank you for your word. We thank you for allowing us to gather together. We thank you for your presence where two or more have gathered in your name. There you'll be in our midst. Lord, thank you for showing up today. In advance, we thank you for what you're going to do in our hearts, for the way you're going to speak to us. And Lord, I pray that conviction will begin to take place right now, that whatever decisions need to be made, that today would be the day where we make those decisions, not for ourselves, but for you. Where we say, Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. Lord, we're willing to say, yes, I will sacrifice. We're willing to say, yes, I'll do this. Yes, I'll do that. But then, Lord, as we say that we'll do this or we do that, we hold true to our word. And Lord, just thank you. We thank you so much that you hold true to your word. And so, Father, we ask that you would bind Satan far from us today, and that you would fill us, fill this place with your presence even now. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Week after week, we come into worship. Church as a whole, we're guilty of doing this. We come into worship week after week, Sunday after Sunday, Wednesday after Wednesday. We sit in the same pews, and we're very comfortable with our lives. We're very comfortable with where we are as men and women who say we love Jesus. We're very comfortable, and we cannot stand to get out of our comfort zone. Not something that I want to do, preacher. Please don't ask me to get out of my comfort zone. And when we sing, wherever you lead, I'll go. We sing it, and we sing it loud. But do we mean it? When you sing that, yes, preacher, I mean it. And so I want to ask you, because I'm telling you, I'm going to preach this morning, and understand that I'm just preaching the Word of God as God has laid it out there. So don't get mad at me. If you're going to get mad at God, because it's God's Word. But this is what we do. We say, oh Lord, I'm your willing servant. You know that I have been for years. I'm here in this pew every Sunday and Wednesday. I've stained it with many tears. I've given you years of my service. I've always given my best. I've never asked you for anything much. So, Lord, I deserve this request. Please don't send me to Africa. I don't think I've got what it takes. I'm just a man. I'm not a Tarzan. Don't like lions, rivers, or snakes. I'll serve you here in suburbia in my comfortable middle class life, but please don't send me in the bush where the natives are restless at night. I'll see that the money is gathered. I'll see that the money is sent. I'll wash and stack all the communion cups. I'll tithe 11%. I'll volunteer for the nursery. I'll go on the youth retreat. I'll usher. I'll deacon. I'll go door to door. Just please let me keep warm in my seat. And we do that. And we do that. And I think what we do is an injustice to God. Because we say we want to serve. We say we're willing. We say we want to be a part of what God is doing. But we never step up to the plate. And the reason we don't step up to the plate is because we're so comfortable where we are. And I pray this morning that this is an uncomfortable message for you. And I pray as we share the Word of God, there are three things that I want to submit to you this morning concerning God's Word. And the things that were going on in Jeremiah's day, it was much the same thing. What was taking place in Jeremiah's day is the people were coming in Sunday after Sunday. They were worshiping on the Lord's day, but nothing was taking place out in the world Monday through Saturday. It was it. It was just a Sunday kind of a thing. And literally what was happening is they were just going through the motions. And so God said to Jeremiah, God laid it on his heart and he said, I want you to go and I want you to stand at the gate. You stand at the door of the worship center. And when people begin to come in the worship center, you begin to tell them, this is what the Lord says. And so that's what Jeremiah did. He wanted to get their attention. God wanted to get the people's attention. And so he did that. Jeremiah was obedient. He went. He stood at the gate. And his people began to come in. As they began to fill in the worship center, as they began to come into the sanctuary, he stood there and he proclaimed there. He said, hear the word of the Lord, all you Judah who enter in at these gates to worship the Lord. Thus says the Lord God of Israel. And week after week they would come. And week after week, they would leave without having worshiped. And I'm fearful that we come and we gather together and we hear and we listen and we sing without having worshiped, without having been changed by the presence of God. And so that's the goal of this message this morning, is that lives would be changed. And so the first thing I say to you is this morning, God spoke to Jeremiah and Jeremiah spoke to the people. And so as Jeremiah spoke to the people, God would impress upon their hearts conviction. He would place that conviction there. And so it was up to them whether or not they wanted life change. Whether they were going to get it right. It was up to them. It was up to the individual. God was doing his part. The people going to do God's part or their part now. And so number one thing that I submit to you this morning is this. Listen, God goes to great lengths to show his love for us. God goes to great lengths to show his love to us. Listen to what the word says. This is what Jeremiah said. 1 through 7, we're going to really hit on this morning. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. So this was a word from God. I shared with my Wednesday night class. We're going through doctrinal studies and just talking about theology as a whole. And I shared with them a couple of weeks ago that over 600 times in the Old and New Testament, it is stated, thus says the Lord. Over 600 times in the Old and New Testament. So ultimately what's happening is God desires that you understand that he's wanting to talk to you. That he has a word for you. Over 600 times, I would say if it's stated over 600 times, thus saith the Lord, that God desires us to listen, behold, pay attention. And so this is what he said. He said, stand there in the gate. God told Jeremiah, stand in the gate of the Lord's house and proclaim there this word and say, hear the word of the Lord, all of Judah who enter in at these gates to worship the Lord. And so God even then was going to great lengths to get their attention, and they would enter into the worship sanctuary and they would worship for a moment, but then as they worshiped just for a moment, or as they sang, or as they prayed, as they went through their rituals week after week, they left unchanged. And the worst thing that you and I could do is come into worship and leave unchanged. Every time you and I gather together as a body of believers, something special should happen in our hearts. God goes to great lengths to show us His love. God goes to great lengths to get our attention. But we refuse to see what God is doing. And this is not something that's uncommon. And so as the people were coming into the house of God in Jeremiah's day, rather than God destroying them and the temple, God continued week after week to give them another opportunity to repent and to get it right. Yet week after week, they pretended. Yet week after week, they didn't play it safe. Yet week after week, they, according to the Word of God, they murdered, they stole, they lied, they committed adultery, they swore falsely, they burned incense, and they walked after other gods. That's what they did through the week. And God still wanted to get their attention. How many times throughout the history of the written Word of God do we see that God goes to great lengths to save lives? That God goes to great lengths to save souls? Yet, time after time after time, what we have seen is people are just hard-headed and hard-hearted, aren't we? And that hasn't changed over the years. We're still hard-headed and we're still hard-hearted. But I want to give you some examples of God's love, of God's grace, of God's mercy. Because even in the Garden of Eden, you see, God had blessed them with such a beautiful creation. He said, now go and tend to it and do all that I've commanded you to do. But of the tree that's in the middle of the garden, you shall not eat. Don't touch it. Don't eat from it. Lest you die. And what did they do? They went straight to the tree. They were tempted by the devil, and they went to the tree, and they took of its fruits, and they ate, and then they became wise in their own eyes, knowing right from wrong. They became wise in their own eyes, and they sinned against God. And then we see that Noah finds favor with God. For 120 years, Noah builds an ark. Do you think that God just dropped the wood there in one place and Noah began to build the ark? No. He had to go cut the wood. He had to carry the wood to where it was going. He had to have labor. He had to have help. And so his family got involved. And week after week, day after day, for 120 years, he built the ark. During that time, people would ask him, what are you doing, you crazy nut? There's no water anywhere around here. And he would tell them, well, God's fixing to destroy the earth when we get the boat finished. God's fixing to destroy the earth because repentance hasn't taken place. God's fixing to destroy the earth with a flood, and I'm getting ready for the flood. And people looked at him like he had lost his mind. They had turned their heart hard against God and God's word. They didn't want to hear it. And Abraham, he found favor with God as well because of his faith and his obedience. But the rest of the world there, Sodom and Gomorrah, you know about that sinful society and what happened there. But what if there's 50 righteous, will you destroy them? If there's 40, if there's 30, if there's 20, what if there are only 5 righteous and God said, I'll not destroy them? God went to great lengths to prove His love. But there were not 5 righteous, and so God gets Lot and his family out. But even in the midst of them running out of Sodom, Lot's wife turns around because she was so worried about what was going on back here. She was going to have to leave her lifestyle. She wanted to see what was being destroyed, and she turned, and it was it. And I think that's what you and I do. And God continues to show us week after week His love. And the greatest example of this is when He sent Christ down from the glories of heaven. God in the flesh came and He dwelt among us. And then not only did He dwell among us, but He died on an old rugged cross. And according to Romans 5 verse 8, God demonstrated His own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God has gone through great lengths to show us His love. Which brings me to my second point. What do we do? Time and time and time and time again, we go to great lengths to shut God out. Time and time and time again, you and I, God's children, go to great lengths to shut God out. Look at verse 2. It said, he told Jeremiah, he said, stand in the gate of the Lord's house and proclaim there this word and say, hear the word of the Lord, all ye of Judah who enter in at these gates to worship the Lord. God wanted to get their attention. He was hollering at them. He was trying to knock on their heart's door. And he said for them, hear. And in the Hebrew, literally what that means is when you hear it the way that the Bible talks about it, he really emphasizes obedience. Hear. Obey what's being said. That's the biblical version of hear. In the Hebrew. And so when you read that, hear the word of the Lord, ultimately what's being said is obey the word of the Lord. I think time and time again, I know I'm not going to get a lot of amens this morning, but time and time again, I think what we do is we hear, but we don't listen. It goes in one ear and out the other. Yeah, we hear it. Yeah, I've read my Bible this morning, but have you heard what God was saying through it? Have you gotten to the point where you desire to be obedient to what God has said? Because the people in Jeremiah's day, they were hearing what was said, they were coming in and they were worshiping, yet they were leaving unchanged week after week. Unchanged. And I'm going to tell you, you and I should never leave unchanged. If you and I enter into the presence of God, I believe we should leave a changed individual. Amen? I don't think we should ever come into the house of God where God's word is taught or preached, where we worship, where we gather together, because he says where two or more have gathered in my name, there I will be in their midst. There I will be right in the middle of them. And so I truly believe that he showed up today. I believe that he's here. I believe that he wants to unleash a blessing more than anything that you and I can fathom, more than anything that you and I have ever seen. He wants to unleash his spirit in such a mighty way. God desires that. But we shut him out. We just turn it off. Well, the preacher's preaching this morning. I don't want to hear it. And we tune it out. Well, Lord, I think I'm doing pretty good. And then we become narcissistic, self-centered. I think I'm doing pretty good, which is evidence of pride, lack of humility. And what we need to do is we need to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. Humble ourselves. But what happens is, this is what happens. Romans chapter 1 verses 18 through 20 says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifested in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. So that they are without excuse. And I'm going to tell you, friends, listen to me. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. Week after week, you and I are without excuse. Week after week, we are without excuse. So, as a result of our continued disobedience, we don't hear God, hear the word of the Lord. And as a result of our continued disobedience, what happens? I'm glad you asked. Because when we continue to disobey, when we continue to do what we know God doesn't desire that we do, let me tell you, listen, this is what the Word of God says in Romans 6:23. Guess what? The wages of sin are death. And so we can only live a lie so long. We can only live in sin so long as God's children. Listen to me. We can only live in sin so long. If we're not willing to be obedient and step out of it, then God's going to judge us. And he's going to judge us according to his word. He's going to judge us to the point of death. Now, let me say this. If you're a child of God and you die, but you really know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I'm going to tell you you're going to heaven. But don't use what you and I believe about salvation as an excuse to sin. I'm just going to live it up as long as I have an opportunity to live it up, because I'm going to be honest with you and tell you, I think if that's your mentality, that you're not really saved to begin with. And so the wages of sin are death. God goes to great lengths to show us his love. We go to great lengths to shut God out. Number three is this: repentance is a prerequisite for true worship. Wow, that was a mouthful, preacher. Repentance is a prerequisite for true worship. What does that mean? You remember 1 Samuel, right? God doesn't judge the appearance of man. God judges the heart. That's what God does. He judges the heart. And so chapter 7, verses 3 through 6, this is what is said. It says, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your doings." Okay, let me make it more clear. Change your ways. That's what he said. Amend your ways and your doings. Literally, let's just keep it simple. What he says is change what you're doing. You got to change your habits. You've got to change what's going on. In order for you to change what's going on, you've got to recognize what's going on. And for you to recognize what's going on and you be in a position to change it, you've got to acknowledge it. And so that's what you got to do. And this is where humility comes into the picture. And you have to be one of those who's not ashamed to go to the Lord and say, "Yes, Lord, I have messed up time and time again. And Lord, I recognize that. Lord, I see that. Lord, I understand I've messed up time and time again. But thank you so much that you are a gracious God. Thank you so much that you are a righteous God. Thank you so much that you are a merciful God. Thank you for forgiving me of my sins." You got to confess that. You got to lay it out there to God. You got to turn it over to him. If you're a child of God, but listen to me. If you're not someone who's ever trusted Jesus as your Savior, then all you're doing is hearing me say a lot of words this morning that really don't make sense to you. And so what has to happen for you? Well, if repentance is a prerequisite for worship, then you've got to ask Jesus to be your Lord and your Savior. And I'm going to tell you, you know a little bit of something about Jesus or you wouldn't be here this morning. You know a little bit of something. You might not know exactly what the requirements are, and that's okay. If you're here this morning, I'm going to tell you what the requirements are. Number one is admit. You know, we're getting close to vacation Bible school time, and I could probably come up to any of these children. I can ask them what the ABCs of salvation are, and they could probably all tell us. But the number one thing is to admit that you're a sinner. That's it. Admit that you've sinned. You've disobeyed God. You've not heard what God is saying, what he's laid on your heart. You've not heard him. And so Romans 3, verse 23, it says, "All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Listen to me, all of us. I'm going to tell you something. I'm chief among sinners, as Paul says. Me. I know that I'm a sinner. But I can tell you too that I know that I am saved by the grace of an almighty God. He loved me so much that he sent his son to die on an old rugged cross for me. And I'm not worth it. But he did it for me. And so first thing is you've got to admit that you're a sinner. You've got to admit that. And because no sin is allowed in heaven. Nothing. It's not going to be allowed there. And then you've got to believe that Jesus died on an old rugged cross, that he was buried in a borrowed tomb, and that he was raised from the dead 3 days later. And right now, he sits at the right hand of the Father in heaven, interceding for you and for me. You got to believe that. You got to know. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3 and 4, Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and he was buried. He rose again on the third day according to the Scriptures. Death, burial, and resurrection. Romans 5, verse 8 again, "But God demonstrated his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." He did it despite your sin. Actually, he did it because of your sin. Still. In John 3, 16, how many people, even lost people, know this verse? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever, listen to that, that whosoever, or that anyone who believes in him, should not perish, will not perish, but have everlasting life. Wow. That's believing, isn't it? Admit, believe, because Jesus loves you that much. And then the last thing this morning is, as we talk about repentance, is you've got to choose to trust Jesus alone for forgiveness of sin. Listen to me. There is no other God. There is no worshiping the Baals. There is no worshiping the moon or the stars or the sun, because they will not do anything but send you to hell. Jesus died to keep you from going to hell. There's only one way to salvation. There's only one way to heaven, and it's through the blood of Jesus Christ. And you believe in him and him alone for your salvation. There's no other way. That's it. There's no other way. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord, according to Romans 10, verse 13, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whoever. What's the name of the Lord? Let's make it simple. Jesus. God didn't make it hard, friends. Matter of fact, he made it easy. Jesus is the name of the Lord. And then John 3:18, he who believes in him. Believes in who? Believes in Jesus. Is not condemned. Not condemned. And so you, when you trust Jesus alone to save you, God forgives you. Right there on the spot. When you trust Jesus alone for salvation. And so God has gone to great lengths to show you how much he loves you. History shows it. Your life being spared today proves it. Jesus dying on an old rugged cross, death, burial, and resurrection, him being alive and well today and interceding on your part, and desires to come and have a working relationship with you to live and dwell in your heart. He desires that. That's what he desires. Yet we go through great lengths to shut God out. Don't we? Even after we get saved, even after we come to know Jesus, we go to great lengths to shut him out. Lord, I don't want to do that. Lord, let me sit in my comfy chair. Lord, I don't want to go here. I don't want to go over yonder. Lord, please don't make me go next door to my neighbor and invite them to church. Lord, I'll take up the offering. Lord, I'll even give 11%. Just don't make me do anything outside of my warm, comfy pew. My own little world. It's a song on K-Love. It says, in my own little world, it hardly ever rains. But I'm going to tell you something. In our own little world, we're going straight to hell. It has to be about Jesus. Last thing that I share with you, last thing I submit to you this morning, and then I'm done. Look at verse 7. When you walk, when you don't walk after the other gods, when you don't murder, when you don't lie, when you don't steal, when you don't cheat, when you hear the word of the Lord, when you're obedient to the word of the Lord, when it does not go in one ear and out the other, here's what happens. Listen to what verse 7 says. When you do all of those things, then I will cause you to dwell in this place, in the land that I gave to your fathers forever and ever. And the last thing is this. There are rewards for having a changed heart. There are rewards for having a changed heart. What's the reward for me, preacher? What does this have to do with me? What does this mean for me? I'm glad you asked. It means that you don't have to worry about death, hell, and the grave. It means you don't have to worry about when the death angel comes. It means you don't have to worry about falling asleep and not waking up. It means you can leave here at peace knowing that you're right with God. It means knowing that God has prepared a place for you in heaven, that this earth is not your home. It means knowing that if He goes away to prepare a place, that He will come again and receive you unto Himself, that where He is, there we may be in His midst. It means that knowing that you're heaven bound, it's all about a reward for us anyway, isn't it? Listen, let's get it right. Let's make sure that we receive the ultimate reward. Let's make sure that if we're here and we've not trusted Jesus as our Lord and Savior, that today we don't leave without having come undone out of our seats. We get it right today. We trust Jesus as our Lord. And then if you're here and you've trusted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, listen to me. The next step is about being obedient and serving where God has called you to serve. What has God called you to do? Yet week after week we hear and we leave unchanged. And if you're here this morning and you're a man, woman, or child that's trusted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, listen to me. God has a job for you to do. It's up to you to figure that out. It's up to you to determine what that is. And so you got to seek God's presence. You got to read God's word. You got to go to God in prayer. And if you're going to do that, then you've got to be obedient and get right with God. And today has to be a day of change. Today has to be a day of accountability. Today has to be a day where as God speaks to your heart, you say, Lord, I hear you. But it's not going out the other side. Today you understand, you say, Lord, not only do I hear you, but I'm going to be obedient. And maybe you're that person that God has called to the ministry. Maybe you're that person that God has called to the ministry and you've never stepped up. You've just been maintaining, because I want to tell you, I ran for 7 years. I ran. I said no, no, and no. And I just don't know how much longer God would allow me to run. I don't know. And so, I don't know. What's the invitation song today? Turn your eyes upon Jesus, but we're going to change it to wherever He leads, I'll go. That's what we're going to do, because God today, as He speaks to your heart and He calls you to be obedient, then what you have to do is you've got to decide that today, yes, Lord, I hear you. And yes, Lord, I'm going to respond to you. And so we're going to go to the Lord in prayer, and then we're going to have an invitation time. And I want to tell you, it's up to you what you do with God and His word. It's up to you. It's up to you. From this point on, it's up to you. Will you pray with me? Father in heaven, Lord, today, in the mighty name of Jesus, we just thank you so much for your word. Lord, we thank you for forgiveness of sin. We thank you for your love. We thank you, God. We thank you that you have gone to great lengths to show us your love, to pour your love out on us. Lord, thank you that we don't need to keep shutting you out. Help us to hear your presence and feel your presence and to hear you speak to us in that still small voice right now. As Psalm 46 verse 10 says, be still and know that I am God. Lord, I pray that we would do that right now. You speak to us. Lord, today, please help us not go to great lengths to shut you out. Lord, you've called us to a mighty work. There are people in our families' lives. There are people who are friends with us. There are people who are all around us that are lost, dying, and going to hell. And we just walk by them day after day. Father, burden our hearts for those. Lord, don't let us, like they did in Jeremiah's day, come into the sanctuary, come in to worship you week after week, but leave unchanged and go out and continue to worship foreign gods. Don't let us come in as they did in 2 Kings, Lord, and they came in and they worshiped, but then they burn incense to false gods, and then they come in and they sacrificed on your altar. Lord, I pray that today would be the sacrifice of praise. Lord, I pray today you would speak to our hearts in a mighty way, in a whirlwind kind of day. Lord, that you would speak to us so powerfully that there is no denying it's you. Oh, Father, we just say we love you. Forgive us. Right now, forgive us. Lord, we're all guilty. We're all sinners. We all fall short. But Lord, thank you that today we can boldly come to the throne of God and know that we have a mediator between us and you, and that is the God-man, Jesus Christ. Father, change our hearts today. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to ask you to stand this morning. You stand. I don't know what God has laid on your heart. I don't know what decision you need to make, but whatever the Lord's laid on your heart today, you come. You respond today. You come.